What's those you want these? Gotta have fees. Plus smoke, so much heat. You can't hold a whole lot of green. Kinda can't fold.
Oh yeah, looking great but feeling bummy. I just ate but still I'm hungry. I got something but I ain't nothing. Brother tummy isn't chubby. Bills like nymphos, they keep coming. Always something, something, something. Cop some things but I ain't fed. Dreams alive, my wallet dead.
I've been drinking the fuck out of these sparkling ices this week. Like, I like these, first of all. But I stopped drinking coffee this week because I noticed, like, because I'm working from home now, I just, like, my table is, like, next to the coffee maker. And it's cold, and so I'm just like, all right, I'm just make coffee all day. And so I drink like 4 or 5 cups of coffee. There he is.
That's good for you.
And it just, yeah, it was not good. It was wreaking havoc on my insides. And so I'm just like, I was like, too much information, but it's just like, man, why am I having like runny shits every day? Like, what's going on? When is this going to stop? Oh, yeah. Maybe it's because I'm drinking all that coffee with half and half all day. I don't think my body likes milk or coffee. Maybe I should stop drinking it.
I don't understand the concept of drinking coffee when espresso is a thing.
Yeah, I hear you.
Just take a shot or two of espresso. It takes 2 seconds. And you're not walking around with 32 ounces of coffee and milk.
You have like an espresso maker?
Well, at work.
Oh, okay. Well, my work is in my kitchen. So,
well, then buy an espresso maker.
All right.
Well, why drink espresso when you could just do cocaine? I mean,
that's a good point.
I mean, a little harder to procure, but
yeah, in Biden's America, you think you just go to the corner and get cocaine like you used to?
This is Oregon now. You can just do drugs all you want. It can't mess with you.
Yeah, when are they going to start selling that on corner stores? When can I buy cocaine at 7-Eleven? These are the hot button issues that I care about. Damn it.
Too bad. God, the good old days in like the 1800s where you just do cocaine. Cocaine was in things and you just do blow. And it's like, oh.
Yeah.
This is just to keep me awake and going. Cool.
Figure it out, Comrade Kate. But back in my radio days, I would hear some very fun stories from some of the older people I worked with there about, you know, who started in like the 70s and 80s and stuff like that, and how, you know, lots of fun times happening in the studios, whereas nowadays you have to have a key card and get permission to walk back in the studios. They would just, you know, do all sorts of unseemly shit, as like pretty much what you imagine people did in radio studios. That kind of stuff happened.
Really killing the vibes nowadays.
Yeah, man. Rules, regulations.
You'd have Eric Clapton come in, talk to him, play a tune, rail an eight ball, you know, just.
Yeah.
Just a good Wednesday.
Yeah. How many radio personalities, though, now actually work in a studio?
You had groupies, like, on speed dial just for when people came into town? Well, people who work in a studio?
Yeah, like, in a building, in a studio. Because I feel like they all call it the Rocket Mortgage Studio. But one of them is in L.A. and the other one is in Detroit. So you know they're all just working from home now.
Well, that is very different now. That is for damn sure. I share a duplex with one of the main radio personalities in the Eugene Springfield area on one of the most storied radio stations that you know about in the area. And he is doing I don't want to name him. Just
Dennis Dakota.
No, but I do know Dennis. He's a wonderful man, by the way. He really is. Like everything you think about
Mark Dakota, Mark Rainey.
Mark Rainey retired. But he literally does it from his living room. Like does a show from his living room. I can like walk by, see him in his window, like with the microphone.
Is this,
oh, hey, how's it going?
AM radio or FM radio?
You know damn well there's one AM station that I worked on, and Dennis Nakata was on it. So. Yeah, so everybody's working from home that I know that I still like keep in touch with, like from radio. Like they're all working from home. Even the like production manager I used to work with, he works from home too. Very interesting because he has to make like commercials and stuff, and so you have to be in touch with different teams to be able to do these things and then upload them. And I don't know, it's a very complicated situation, but not really, because it's all from one spot now. So I don't know. I am enjoying working from home. I don't know about the rest of y'all, if y'all are working from home, but I'm fully okay with not having to wake up an hour and a half before I have to start work and drive in and have to spend the half an hour driving home. It's nice to just be off of work and then you're on your couch already, basically. I'm mad at that. I don't know. We'll see. So how about sports?
Hey, sports.
No idea.
Yeah.
I haven't really watched any.
I haven't either. I don't think there's been much. I don't think there's been much to watch other than, you know, NFL, obviously.
NBA is kicking, going strong.
It's happening.
It's not great to watch the Blazers, but.
No, that's kind of the issue, right? Is we're Blazers followers and fans. And so them not being good kind of makes you not want to pay attention. I don't know. Have you guys watched any basketball this last week?
I watched the Blazer game today.
Okay. And they played Houston.
Mm-hmm. And they lost.
Yes, they did. Yep.
And that, well, you got the Duck men's teams on another like 2 week COVID break. And I knew I did not watch that Oregon State game because they're playing like seven players and none of them were any good.
They split their COVID break with a loss to Oregon State.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that we're having a college basketball season right now.
It's just Dana, you know, playing chess here. He's trying to get all his players that are worth a shit to get COVID now, so it'll be good to make that run in March.
Like planning his COVID.
Yep.
It's like that South Park episode, like the Dookie Mouth episode, where all the kids like spit in each other's mouths to give each other what's it called, chicken pox. It's like that. Okay, so I mean, nothing to talk about with basketball. Right?
Nope.
I mean, the basketball team's bad. When they're playing, they're okay, but they just looked really bad against Oregon State.
I mean, Duarte is the key to that team right now, and when he's out and Figueroa's out, they had no chance.
No chance. Yeah, no chance whatsoever.
And now, at least with hopefully after this current COVID break, Richardson should be coming back.
Is that true?
I thought they were saying kind of early to mid February.
I thought they were saying like early January for a while, and then it became
Were saying end of January. Then it kind of, all right, give him an extra like week or two because he's gonna have to practice more.
Yeah, if I were him, I'd just keep pushing it. Just be like, I don't want to play in this like this year. I get an extra year anyways. Like, really, nothing to do with this bullshit. Don't blame him. Okay, well, football then. Tim DeRuiter hired as officially today, it was official, Oregon's defensive coordinator and outside linebackers coach. Before that was the co-defensive coordinator and assistant
coach
for Cal. And then before that was the he was like the DC and inside linebackers coach or something like that. So, and then before that, the head coach at Fresno. So, correct me if I'm wrong. This is Oregon like poaching a defensive coordinator from the same division, right?
I don't know if it's poaching. I
mean, he was literally their defensive coordinator.
Well, he was co.
Okay. No, that's fair.
Was he still under contract?
But he was their DC before that, and he was also their assistant head coach last year. So, I mean,
was he still under contract with him? Because that's a big thing. He was.
But these labels are just dumb. Hayward was assistant to the assistant head coach and co-defensive coordinator. He didn't call play. And these labels are dumb now.
I feel like Salave is an assistant head coach too, or something too, right?
Yes, there were like three of them.
Yeah,
I wonder if it gives them like a bump in the pay.
It does,
like having that title. Yeah,
it's how they keep some of these guys,
mm-hmm. And it's nice on the resume too.
Right. Even though everyone knows it's kind of fraudulent, you know, it gets you an extra $150K a year and it's a nice on the resume.
I'm legit curious. Like, if I could sit a head coach down and be like, all right, you hired him. He is your assistant head coach. He was just your coordinator before that. What extra does he do as your assistant head coach? Like, does he do more paperwork? Like, does he go to meetings for you? Like, what actually happens? I'd be very curious. Or if it's nothing, then it's nothing. And it's just a fucking fraud, like, title. But
I think they are definitely not doing more paperwork. I think they are doing less paperwork. I think that's part of the promotion.
Their secretary is doing more paperwork.
Yes.
Oh, gee, great, Tim. Fantastic. Super glad we're co-head coach. Fantastic.
Only pay extra paperwork. They're doing signing that extra check.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate your input. So, I mean, is he good?
It's a good hire.
Yeah, I mean, Cal's defense has been good.
Yeah, Cal has not been good,
but their
defense. I'm a little less excited about it after reading today that Tennessee is probably going to let go Kevin Steele this week, because I would have rather had him. But, you know, hey, instead of a home run, they got a double. That's fine.
On base.
Triple?
Nah.
They got a triple?
It's a strong double. It's a good day. It's a stand-up double. Strong
double. It's stand-up double. Stand-up triple. Let's go, boys.
I'm sure you were on Twitter. What was the main gripe with DeRuiter hire?
I mean, do we really want to get into that?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see what the consensus of
the big gripe. Not the big gripe, but the loud gripe was that Cristobal's racist.
Yeah, because it leads into a little bit of NFL discussion as well. But first of all, and I think, and you've pointed this out many times on Twitter, I have seen that. Oregon's safeties were fucking
terrible.
Like, why would you? So, you know, maybe Hayward would be a good defensive coordinator.
He might be.
I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. But on paper, you cannot promote the guy from the position group to the coordinator who was arguably the weakest part of the defense last year. There's an argument for defensive line. Linebackers were injured. I mean, at least the D-line had Thibodeau to kind of fucking carry them all season long. But the DBs were terrible. Safeties were awful.
And yes, if Holland comes back, the safeties are good.
And Breeze, I'm not sure Breeze was Holland good. But Breeze,
no, he's like, fine.
Second half of the season, he was great.
But my only point with that is, Hayward could be a good defensive coordinator. He could be very soon. He didn't have leverage. Uh-uh. Like, that's the thing that when people on social media were arguing on his behalf, like strongly, like, oh, it's got to be Hayward. No, like he didn't have leverage.
No.
This was not the year for him to be like, listen, look what I did.
Yeah.
Dude, what'd you do? They were awful.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you got to think this is another scenario where, I mean, I don't see DeRuiter being here for the long term.
But, well, see, I actually kind of think he might be.
You don't think he's going to try to get another head coaching gig?
Ah, that's tough after you go 30-30 at Fresno.
Especially if you're Tim DeRuiter.
And he's like 58 or something.
Tim DeRuiter.
Getting a little old.
So Tim DeRuiter.
For the profession. He's not an old person.
Tim DeRuiter as a defensive coordinator is nice. He is he's really good on paper. The Cal defense has been really, really good. You hire Tim DeRuiter as a head coach, it's boring. It's uninspired. It's, you better be San Jose State if you're hiring Tim DeRuiter as your head coach. Like, if he's not going to get a head coach job, like, in a Power Five.
I mean, did you see who UNLV hired? Yeah. You're trying to say DeRuiter can't find a gig like
I'm saying a job like UNLV could be a thing for DeRuiter, yes. But in terms of it being a good job he would leave Oregon for, I don't think so. I think Arroyo, I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, him hearing from everybody around him how shitty he was and him getting tired of it and being like, oh, I can be a head coach somewhere. It's like, yeah, okay, great.
You know how you cover
that? Because I think if he had been really, really good and everybody was in love with him, Oregon would have thrown another $100,000 at him and been like, okay, you stay here. We want to keep you. We want to lock you up. What do you need for that? Because I don't think, you know, UNLV is going to pay him that much more than he could make as Oregon's OC if Oregon was really committed to him. So a lot of that went both ways, I think.
Well, Arroyo is making $1.6 million next year.
Yeah. So what? Where do you think Oregon would have gone if they really wanted to keep him?
Not that high.
Get him a million?
A million.
Million two? Something like that. In that ballpark. I think before UNLV offers, he would at least think about it. Like a million two?
He was making $825,000 his last year at Oregon.
There you go. I'm saying that's not that big of an increase if you really want to keep a guy.
Well, I was going to say also.
Bill and Penny will cut a check for that. You know what I'm saying?
They don't, though, actually.
No, it's not them. I know. Yeah. I know.
Phil, well, he's pretty anti-paying for – he'll pay for everything else. He ain't paying for coaches.
He ain't paying for coaches. He'll sanction private jets for them.
Apparently. Yes, he'll pay for more expensive things. It's a very weird line he's drawn.
It is.
Where he's like, you know what? I'm not gonna chip in that $400,000 for the salary pool, but you want to know what? Here's a bronze jet for the safeties coach.
He's like, fuck it. I got this jet up in Beaverton anyways. Might as well.
Yeah. It's a whole hangar for Bobby Williams. Like, okay.
Jet fuel, baby. You got that jet fuel money. I don't think those planes use jet fuel. All right. So are we feeling better than when Oregon had Arroyo after last year?
Yeah.
I kind of am. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a very good thing for Oregon, by the way, that I think the majority of people are kind of like us in that way, where it's like, oh man, like you have this young up and coming defensive coordinator, you know, you lose him to, you know, kind of one of the teams you hate the most on earth. but the fact that he, like his defense was so bad last year, I think really helps that. I know it does for me, just the way I feel about it.
Well, like, I was going to say,
if Oregon had been good last year defensively, then you're like, oh, shit. Well, you just lost a guy. Now you're bringing in this kind of old guy who sucked at Fresno, like, you know, Cal.
Well, that's the thing, he's
still not as good as Avalos.
Well, that's the thing is I'm not 100% sure, like, what kind of guys Avalos was bringing in recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, how much pull – DeRuiter has as a recruiter.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's going to be relying heavily on the position coaches to do
a majority. Be, yes. He is not a recruiter. He's an X and O's guys.
I don't think the 57 year old white guy pulls in a lot of guys from like Compton. And
no, I was reading something from a Fresno reporter, and basically like what they say cost DeRuiter his Fresno tenure. And this is, I think it's a little dumb. This is a lot of hindsight.
Mm.
But he passed over Josh Allen, not once in high school, but twice as a JUCO because he grew up like 30 miles from campus or something.
Basically,
but again, that's hindsight because then you read the article and like, well, coming out of high school, he was 6'1", 190. Okay. I mean, it's even at Fresno, that's not an automatic take.
No. There's no such thing.
But their overarching thing is that he's an X and O's guy and he's not a recruiter.
Yeah. Okay.
Which I'm fine with from a coordinator.
Yeah. No, Oregon.
Be a nerd. Have your guys below you be the ace recruiters.
Oregon's kind of been like that too, especially with this coaching staff. It's like guys like Salavea going out and getting Thibodeau. It's not the defensive coordinator, you know? So, because that's essentially a huge reason why they have the position coaches they have. Like Salavea is really, really good at that. By the way, Hayward really, really good at that. So, you know, you keep those guys around just like, you know, Hayward, honestly, like we're talking about Hayward possibly getting promoted to DC. He could have been fired after last year. Like as bad as that position group was, it's like, I know that doesn't usually happen. Like
this was the NFL. He was fired.
Yeah, exactly, man. So it's like, I don't know, but a lot of the reason you hire the position coaches you hire is because they're good recruiters, basically. And then the DCs and head coaches go into close deals, or they get on Zoom calls to close deals. I don't know. I'd be curious how different that is nowadays.
I don't know what kind of scheme he runs. Yeah. That he was running a Cal, how different it is, or you know.
All I know is they fucking handled Oregon.
I think he's. I do think that is a rub. Is he's going from a 4-3 to a 3-4 or a 3-4 to. Avalos was so weird with what he ran. I can't even remember what his base was anymore.
They're gonna make Thibodeau stand up.
No, they said that's what they're not. Well, like, do you mean like in space, like Avalos had him doing? No.
Like an outside linebacker, because I don't want that.
Yeah, no, no.
Okay. They make a lineup 2 yards off the ball, too. Yeah, that's it.
Ay. I remember back in the day the Niners did that with Aldon Smith. Like, so he, you know, you remember Aldon Smith when he was with the Niners was fucking unblockable. And then, like, some asshole came in and, like, made him stand up or something. I was just like, what the fuck are you doing? Rush the passer every play. Every play, you're going to get a sack a game. That's why he's not. That's why you're fucking paying him money.
I will say I'm actually looking forward to DeRuiter because Cal had a lot of slow white linebackers.
Yeah.
And these guys seem to make 15 tackles a game. So clearly he's a good coach at teaching to tackle.
He's Oregon's DC and outside linebackers coach now. So
I'm liking that a little bit at least.
Yeah. And Oregon has some young, fairly talented linebackers on their team. So I think they just got a couple really big recruits too this week. I don't know. I don't really care until they actually sign.
And I thought one was just some O lineman just got a fifth star.
Yeah, they got some O lineman got a fifth star, and then they got like a 4-star defensive end or something today or yesterday.
I think he's though like a sophomore.
Oh, really?
So it's one of those things.
Oh, fuck out of here.
It's like, oh, sick.
It's already too much for us to talk about them when they're fucking high school seniors. Yeah. High school sophomore, out of here.
He's either a sophomore or a junior, but he is decidedly not a senior.
Even though
I was seeing a lot of Husky fans like bordering on losing their shit if some certain recruit chooses Oregon over them.
Oh, that –
some 5-star kid up, and I assume he's got to be in the Seattle area.
Yeah, but
it's some Polynesian
JTT. That's I just know his initials.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Sure, he's going to Ohio State. We just move on. I don't care.
Oh, speaking of Seattle, that Cade Millen kid entered the transfer protocol. Yeah,
smart. Smart on his part.
Yeah, that was my first thought. It was like, shit, there is no future for you here at the quarterback position. So move to tight end or transfer. Go the Brian Bennett route, son. All right. Anything else on Ducks?
Nope.
Yeah, I got nothing really. So NFL, the Bucks and your Chiefs in El Super Bowl.
Standard.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah. Actually, most people talked about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers being the favorites going in. And then you're like, oh, yeah, the Bucks roster is fucking loaded. We talk about Tom Brady, but they have so many fucking good players on that team.
It's hard to disparage Tom Brady. I totally get it.
Yeah.
His 3 interceptions in the second half or whatever.
Trying to give them the game.
I think it might have been his last one where he just threw it. It was just
threw it up.
I mean, good God, Packers. You get 3 picks and you score 0 points.
Yeah.
Good God. And on that note, good God, Kevin King. Could you have played a worse game?
I was feeling bad for him.
And I give him a, he was awful all game, but he that was. Touchdown he gave up to Scotty Miller.
Oh my God.
He misplayed that. You got him. But hey, yeah. Green Bay defensive coordinator.
Thank you.
Drop a safety.
One safety.
Like, what are you doing?
There's a total of one ways they score, and that's it.
On Monday, I don't know who it was. It was someone on the NFL Network. I don't remember their name, but they were having a serious conversation, and they're like, "Well, the Packers were assuming that the Bucs were playing for a field goal. Cool. Then get conservative and drop everyone back and give them three." Yeah. What are you doing?
You know, more than one safety. You had man coverage with one safety. Tampa 2. You're playing Tampa. Run the Tampa 2.
This guy's trying to give this serious, you know, analysis about, well, they were aggressive because they were playing for the field goal. That's counterintuitive, my man.
There's two play calls there. Drop everyone back. Or send the house at Brady. Yeah. Those are your only two options.
My thing is just don't give up a touchdown.
That's it.
Just give up three. You have Aaron Rodgers, give up three.
Speaking of those two safeties, have them stand on the goal line.
Yes.
What are we trying to prevent?
Because if they're standing there, Brady's not throwing that because he gets tackled at the two. Yes. Like, he's not a dummy. He's going to play for the three.
Or get licked off. Because if you throw a deep ball with two safeties standing on the goal line, it's going to get intercepted.
That last minute by the Packers was just in the first half was just that was legendary gackage.
Yep. By the way, the result of that has been me having to be tortured with pictures of Aaron Rodgers in 49ers jerseys all fucking week. Like that's going to fucking happen.
Well, I'm glad you bring up the quarterbacks like that because I'll take Rodgers on the Colts.
No, I'm not saying I won't take Rodgers on the 49ers. I'm saying it's not going to fucking happen. This week, I have heard Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson and Matt Stafford are all going to be 49ers next year.
You could probably get Stafford.
Stafford's going to go to the Colts.
Yeah. The 49ers are not going to get one of those guys. Not one. No, none of them. They have stuff they could trade. They could trade Jimmy G. They just got four third round picks because Saleh and their assistant president or some shit like that got hired elsewhere. So they got four compensation third round picks. So they could trade those and Jimmy G for one of those guys, but it's not going to fucking happen. Like there's no way John Lynch would do that trade. And so all these 49er fans I'm friends with or follow or whatever, they're all just fucking torturing themselves all week thinking, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, he's going to come back home. No, he's fucking not. No, he's not. Why would the Packers let Aaron Rodgers go?
It's weird listening to you guys talk about NFL football and talking about quarterback play because I can't relate.
Yeah.
I can't relate to the poverty. it's hard. I try.
Yeah, no, you're.
But I mean, I'm coming down from mountain high, you know,
Shut the fuck up.
I mean, you had a quarterback that didn't know what year it was out there fucking spinning dimes, beating the upstart Bills.
It is what it is. You know, he's got a broken toe, a scrambled brain, 29-37, 323 touchdowns in your face. There you go. Game over.
Kelsey, a buck 60, Tyreek, a buck 80.
Being real right now, I hate how the NFL plays the offense now. Because they're like, you know what? We're not going to get beat deep. We're going to give you the 9-yard out and dig every time, though.
A whole bunch of them.
So, okay, they're still going to score 32. It's just going to be methodical.
That's why if your team can't do that, it is the most frustrating shit ever. Because every defense gives you that. Like, you can have a 5 to 10 yard completion anytime you fucking want in the NFL right now. And so if your team does not have the receivers who can execute that, it is so fucking frustrating.
And
like the Niners this year, like with Jimmy G hurt, with like Debo hurt, like with all these guys out, like they could not complete an 8 yard pass. And watching it, it's just like, fuck, anyone can do this whenever they want. How are you not able to do this? Fuck, Nick Mullins, you are trash.
And that's what, as a Kansas City fan, I just revel in everyone else's pain, because it will be 2nd and 15.
Yeah.
And Mahomes just casually gets 11 on just an easy pitch and catch. And then you know they're getting it on 3rd and 3. Like,
yeah. Kelsey gets 15 yards on the same play 5 times a game.
It's amazing.
Wide open in the middle of the field.
There is that play. I know we're kind of talking about the easy dumps for 9.
Yeah.
But there was like 2 plays he had against the Bills. One where I think there were back-to-back plays actually. In the 3rd quarter, they just ended it. And they were just like 12-yard passes.
But no one's around him.
Have you noticed that? Have you noticed every time Mahomes rolls out to the right, Kelsey is uncovered in the middle of the field? Every single time. I don't know why that is. I don't know what defenses are seeing.
There's a genius fat guy with a mustache that schemes all this up brilliantly.
Yeah. Wears big visors in front of his face like a donut.
And I know we all – our team Alex Smith here.
Sure.
But man, it's getting tougher to defend the guy who lost the home playoff game when the opposition scored 0 touchdowns.
Yeah. Wow.
And he had Hill and Kelsey.
Who is the other
running back?
Yeah, what the
God, who's the other receiver from back then? He like went to the Eagles. What was that fool's name?
Went to the Eagles?
Hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Macklin? No, it wasn't Macklin.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, just think you guys had Kareem Hunt.
Oh, I know. That's the thing is like, I know Clyde Edwards-Helaire was good from like
week 1 to 5.
But he's done nothing since like October 10th.
Yeah.
If they had Kareem Hunt... Yes, you would be taking the ball out of Mahomes' hands, but okay.
Just give him a break here and there.
It would be the easiest 110 yards rushing a game by any. Oh.
Easy.
And Le'Veon Bell, how did he get so washed?
He's going to get a Super Bowl ring, I tell you that much.
He's on that Shady McCoy plan from last year. And I think McCoy's on that flow this year because he's on the Bucks and he doesn't really play.
I was thinking that shit about Mark Ingram this year because Mark Ingram's like the 3rd or 4th back for the Ravens.
But and when did
he's not even on their roster, like their active roster, but he's like, you know, if they were to go get a Super Bowl, he would get a Super Bowl ring.
And I don't pay that much attention to the Ravens.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure he was like a Pro Bowler last year. And I feel like he was okay this year. And then all of a sudden in like November, they're like, yeah, you just don't play.
Not as good as Dobbins. Like Dobbins was
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, Dobbins is the guy I wanted Kansas City to draft. I did.
Yeah.
And we're JTT. Edwards-Helaire was my 3rd.
Right.
I mean,
Colts got a nice little running back there, didn't they?
JT killing it.
Who's that fool who got hurt at the start of the year? For the Colts?
Marlon Mack.
Mack, that was it.
He was like a 1,500-yard rusher last year.
Really, really good. And then like, he like ruptured his Achilles or something.
Yeah.
Or some shit. Yeah, yeah.
Did he go to Buffalo?
Marlon?
Yeah.
He's on the team. He got hurt this year. That's
What college did he go to?
Oh.
Or was it South Florida? I got this.
Temple.
Temple? Okay.
I don't think so. But
I just remember it was like some like random like AAC –
Central Michigan
team, yeah.
But is there another position in any sport where someone washes out so fast than a fucking running back in the NFL?
No.
Like, I mean, even with pitchers, I mean, it's about a 2 or 3 year you see the decline, not like next year you're getting cut kind of.
I guess technically you could say NFL kicker, but
It's I have no idea how you evaluate and draft and get running backs nowadays. Cause like there are arguments to where like, if you know, Saquon Barkley's coming out, you draft him number one.
I wouldn't though.
But I'm saying there's an argument. Like,
oh, totally. Totally.
If he runs for 1500 yards for you, like he's worth it. But then you have, you know, you have situations where like the Niners would, just because I watch them, like Jeff Wilson Jr., like he ends up being their leading rusher this year because of injuries or whatever. And he looked really fucking good in like every game he was in. It didn't make any fucking sense.
Scheme. That's all that is.
Scheme. Yeah. And then Dobbins comes in, and then fucking Robinson for Jacksonville comes in. Mm-hmm. Like who the fuck knows who's going to
be the only safe bet is guys like Henry, you know, I mean, Fournette had one nice year, but the guys are kind of like guys with some size and some speed. I mean, that's kind of your safest bet, really. Everyone else is kind of, I mean, extremely hit or miss.
Zeke looked like a good early pick, but he's gotten washed extremely quick,
right?
I mean, he doesn't take care of his body. I think we can just admit that.
I mean, Gurley was the best running back 3 years ago.
And now he's done.
And now he doesn't can't run the ball for the Falcons.
He couldn't even get carries in a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
2 years ago. That's just something. If you
they were they were giving it to some fat guy who just came off the street.
Anderson or whatever.
Anderson, yeah.
That bowling ball Anderson. But yeah,
that was the worst Super Bowl ever. Fuck Tom Brady. He doesn't even belong on the same field as Patrick Mahomes. That is a system quarterback handpicking a team. It's a disgrace, and they shouldn't be allowed. He's playing in his home stadium. Disgusting. It's in Florida. Disgusting. He had a MAGA hat. He's disgusting. He left his ex-wife or whatever while she was pregnant, or girlfriend, Bridget Moynihan. Disgusting. This Tom Brady guy, get over yourself. You were winning Super Bowls when plumbers were quarterbacks. You beat Jake DeLome.
Jake DeLome.
You lost to Nick Foles.
Was an actual plumber QB? Was Jake Plumber QB then?
he literally beat a grocery clerk in his first Super Bowl. Literally.
You talking about Kurt Warner?
Yes.
Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner.
Stocking aisles in Iowa.
That's great. By the way, do you see Moynihan was actually at that game?
Like, yeah, stop ruining my narrative. I know she's celebrating.
I think she's
stop. Could you stop?
No, go ahead.
Hey, you saw that clip. Hey, security, can I see my son? Can I talk to my son? Yeah, do it for the cameras, Tom. Jeez, what a cornball.
What an asshole. God.
I'm going to see who is going to beat COVID protocols. Let me see my son. What a joke. Can't wait to bomb his ass.
Yeah.
Again.
That's going to happen.
Probably in front of like 60,000 people too in Florida.
Oh, well, that's Florida, so yeah.
I am legit curious, like, because didn't a bunch of like advertisers like back out of this year? Like Coke backed out.
Budweiser, for the first time in 37 years, will not have a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, kind of crazy. So I'm legit curious, like. So you're legitimately I would see them having like 20,000 probably. They'd be able to get like 20,000.
Yeah, maybe a little more.
Yeah. And how fucking expensive are those tickets going to be? Like they're already hella expensive every year.
Like actually, maybe, I did.
Or are they going to be less because all these people are backing out? Like, do people not care?
I did see someone I know who was in the lottery, and I think they were 19,000 and change.
For two seats?
For two seats. Well, per seat.
Oh, yeah.
But you had to buy two. Mm-hmm. And they were, because they're kind of limiting things. So they were good seats. Yeah. These aren't nosebleeds, but still almost $40,000 to take your son to a Super Bowl that you don't care about either team because you're from Chicago. He was probably, like, and that's a pass.
You could probably flip that on the secondary market for about $100,000.
Probably. I mean, yeah, probably. That's a big risk to take, though. I mean, I guess you got to have $40,000 just laying around.
Yeah, well, you got a year's salary sitting around to, like, flip some tickets.
I mean, there's a lot of millionaires.
Well, I mean, if you're in on GameStop early, you do.
I was going to say, there's a lot of millionaires just made from GameStop now, so.
That shit fell apart today. Did you see that?
Well, I mean, that was inevitable.
It was. No, totally.
I just didn't expect.
Like four bills, dude.
I just didn't expect the, Robin Hood to come in and be the one to squash it.
They got a class.
How about that free market, baby?
Like, basically, the guys on Reddit who were doing this, like, already had the paperwork for the class action lawsuit. They literally just had to fill in whichever group decided to just take the stock off.
You know, Bernie is definitely on the side of all the Redditors.
Yeah. Are you trying to get me to do Bernie?
That was a setup for you.
I appreciate that. No, I'm not going to do it. That was, by the way, like, I know jack shit about stocks. So, like, I actually learned stuff because of this story. And how those, like, you know, the takeaway from this story is that, like, those hedge fund dudes who, like, short stocks or whatever, like, they're douchebags, they're whatever, blah, blah, blah. This made me want to become one of those people. It's like, oh, that sounds really easy. Like, so, okay, I want to, like, take some loan money and fucking start shorting some stocks. Shit, pay off that loan right away. Fucking move to Florida, go to the Super Bowl.
Just do the whole premise of Boiler Room.
I've never seen Boiler Room.
It's pretty much that. You move a stock to the way you want, and then you cash out, and you pick up shop and you're done. But yeah.
Why wasn't I raised with, like, a bunch of people around me who knew shit about stocks? Like, I feel like this is gonna be one of those things where, like, I'm gonna just have, like, a normal existence where I make a living, I have a savings, I have a few, you know, whatever, like, investments with my 401k. I never fucking learn about anything, and I die, like, moderately poor.
Get into Dogecoin.
Dogecoin.
Yeah.
Dogecoin. Okay.
D-O-G-E coin. It's really taken off. Trust me. I'm like, serious.
I think it's like 0.03 cent a share right now.
Yes, so, but it was at 0.00001 earlier.
Yeah. There you go. Is that going to be the next one?
Yeah, it's up like 400%. I mean, it is.
No. The math worked out.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Like what sort of this was like a big flashback in a way to the big the crypto explosion. What was it, like 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago now, where people were like, got in $320 a share. I'm holding. Well, you might want to not, because crypto is not a thing.
Yeah, it's not a real thing, by the
way. And everyone lost everything.
Yeah, I knew some people who were, like, big in on that, and they were super excited. They talk about it all the time, and then they just sort of stop talking about it. I already knew it was bullshit, and I'm just
the thing I enjoy about crypto now is that, of course, GameStop, AMC, everyone knew that was going to collapse. It was part of the game.
That was the point. Yeah.
Just this fast, no one saw. Yeah. And I'm seeing people like, well, you know what I'm going to do with what I pulled out on? Crypto. It's the future. You've been saying that for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
You might be right.
Yeah.
But I keep hearing that. And
yeah, when's that actually going to happen?
And it, you know, this feels like Elon Musk's hyper tunnel underneath Miami. And did you see that plan?
No.
Like, oh, it's going to be worth billions of dollars. And people were like, hey, Elon, Miami's built under a fucking marsh, man. Yeah. It's under sea level. You can't build it.
Like building anything underground in South Eugene, it's a fucking swamp.
Yeah.
You dig a foot underground.
Yeah.
And it's clay and it's water.
That's why all the actual property in South Eugene is in the hills.
And just kind of tying Elon back into the whole Robin Hood and GameStop thing.
Yeah.
On like Tuesday, he was like, "Wow, I like Etsy," because he bought a scarf. And Etsy stock just explodes because he was like, "I bought a scarf." Stock market is dumb.
Yeah.
You guys have seen The Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Yeah, it's right over there on my movie shelf.
I mean, that scene where McConaughey is talking to DiCaprio and he's like, "Listen, you can't ever let them sell. Because once they sell, that money becomes finite. I don't know what it's going to do. You don't know what it's going to do. There's it's fairy dust. It's it never lands. It's nothing. There's no elements to it. As long as I never sell, don't ever let them sell." The manipulation is wild. And it's so hilarious that as soon as, you know, Thick Dad 69 on Reddit is the one who figures out how to game it.
Yep.
Wait a minute.
Yep.
Hold up. We cannot be manipulating stocks.
We've been doing this for hundreds of years.
Not good. We cannot be doing this. And if you do any more, we're just going to have to bail Wall Street out again.
Very typical. Yeah, no, I'm like the spirit of it. I'm all for it. I'm just I was curious about like earlier this morning before Robinhood took it off. I was like, who is out there still buying these stocks for $350 a share? Like, who is doing that?
I think the short sellers.
Well, I was going to say, it's like, it's about to fucking blow up in their face. Like, why are they literally in like an hour, this is going to be worth nothing. So like, why would anybody do that? That's crazy.
The thing about it though, is that because Reddit's kind of been, you know, whatever that site, that subreddit is, like Wall Street Bets or whatever. Just since last week, they've been, you know, gaining the momentum, right? So, you know, there's a guy who I think he put in 53,000 or something on it and came out with like 40 some million. But they're telling him, hold the line, be strong. You cannot sell, because if you sell, the whole scheme falls apart. You know, not just him, obviously, but he was one. Dude, you want to know what I'm doing?
It's going to fall apart anyways.
You want to know what I'm doing? Is Reddit
taking
that money? Dick 420. Selling!
Count these rocks, biatch.
So the story of the guy who invested 53,000 is so funny, because they're like, this little tiny investor just put in $3,000. You want to know what? Not that small an investor. I hate to break it to you.
No, he's got 53,000 to burn. He literally was playing a game trolling Wall Street with $53,000. He does not give a fuck about money.
I mean, if you ever watch shows like Billions, I mean,
yeah,
those guys, you know, they'll throw away millions of dollars just to like fuck someone over. So
yeah,
what's 53 grand?
Yeah. Oh, must be nice. Dream stuff. Being able to just burn 50 grand. So that
turned into 40 million.
Yeah. So that leads us into our list, right? Right? Right?
Oh yeah.
Right?
Oh, yes. Your top sports traders. Doo-doo.
Ba-ba. So traitors, or players who were traded. Because I did traitors. That's my list. And had a couple of guys I texted you who were like the obvious ones for me. And they are not on my list. And so, yeah. Because Joe Montana jumped out. Jerry Rice with the Seahawks jumped out. But I was telling Ski earlier, those guys were like, their careers were done. Like, especially Jerry Rice. That was like the end. That was 3 years past the end of his career. And, you know, Joe Montana was broken. And the 49ers happened to have Steve Young. So I was cool. I was cool with that. So I looked at this as like three guys who left the team, signed elsewhere, or were traded or whatever, like when they were still good. And it fucking made me upset. That's how I looked at this list. So. Shall I start?
Yeah.
Okay. Since I've been doing most of the talking.
You seem the most enthused here, so we'll let
you. Can almost hear that. Try and side effects. Number three for me is Ricky Waters. So, there you go. That one came through clean. Ricky Waters on that Super Bowl team for the Niners in 94. And then the next year signed with the Eagles. And I was fucking pissed. I understood the plan. Like, it was to buy all of these guys for 1 year and win a Super Bowl and then get rid of them. But Ricky Waters wasn't one of those guys. Like, Ricky Waters was like a guy the Niners drafted and then had like 1,500 yards rushing, also caught a ton of balls, and then left to the Eagles. And I was like, man, fuck you. And then, by the way, like, killed it with the Eagles, then went to the Seahawks, killed it with the Seahawks. I was like, man, we had a good fucking thing. Steve Young's still here. You stay here, you're going to win like three more Super Bowls, dude. And then he fucking bounces. Fuck Ricky Waters. Still fuck Ricky Waters. You know, I know a guy who like used to deal sports memorabilia in the Bay Area. And he's like a family friend. And so like we were visiting him after that year. And I remember like we were driving in the car. I was talking shit about Ricky Waters. And I was like, oh, I was like a kid. So I wasn't actually like using curse words, but I was like, oh, like slimy Waters leaving the Eagles. Blah. And he's like, oh yeah, by the way, I got you a Ricky Waters signed picture for Christmas. Like, yeah. All right. I felt bad a little bit. But I was like, yeah, I'm okay not having that actually. Fuck Ricky Waters. All right.
I'll leave to you, King. You go next.
It's not a player, but it's a coach. That backstabber, the Tallahassee toy, Willie Taggart. Oh,
that's good. That's a quality sound effect for this, by the way. Yeah, I don't think we need to go into that one too much. We get it.
Sad about the Vegas Bowl, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Why wouldn't I be here?
He loved to say that.
Yeah, you want to know what? I bet you if I look up Willie Taggart excited about the Vegas Bowl, I guarantee you I might see you in the background.
Yeah, no, totally. I was just going to say, like, I remember, like, those press conferences of him flat out saying, like, why would I want to be anywhere else? I love
that. And when you guys left the press scrum, like, you knew he was lying, right?
This motherfucker.
You guys all looked at each other like he's gone.
Okay. You knew he was full of shit when you first saw him talk. Like, not just about that, like about anything in general. Like, that guy was a showman. So like everything he did was to put on a show and make you think a thing. And so absolutely nothing he said you take as gospel, because he is talking out of his ass and full of shit, like with pretty much everything. And like, of course you don't say that, because you don't want to get banned from fucking press like opportunities. But yeah, like
you nobody coward, like, you cowards in the press.
Nobody's like, yeah,
seriously.
Nobody's God. Like, yeah, this Taggart
guy is really fine. Press.
You know what I love? He shoots from the hip. Like literally nobody's saying that. Well, remember. Like, he was fun. Like, people liked him when he was at Oregon because he did the fucking the swag thing on the sideline. Like, they were having fun. Like, yeah, okay, this is different. we're kind of enjoying it along for the ride, but it's like, man, like you and you, us talking together right now, like having a normal conversation, I don't believe he has ever had that. He's always like, yeah, all right. How's everybody doing today? Like that kind of motherfucker. It's like, nah.
Nothing like swag surfing into the fourth quarter after giving up 28 points in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After you get a field goal. After you get a field goal.
Yeah. Fucking Willie. Really.
Right. Nice quack sound effect.
All right. My number three, it's...
Before you go on to number three,
every time
I hear someone say lethal simplicity now, this is all I hear.
I'm going to think that every time I hear it now. All right, have you gone right. yet, Ski?
No, I'm going. My number three, it's a tough one because he needed to leave, but I didn't like it was Drexler leaving.
Yeah.
And then winning a championship the next year.
You were six.
Yeah. Oh, so it fucking sucks.
Six. That was in 95. I was 11.
Yeah, dude. I had somebody say that to me on Twitter last week about like when the Dre album or the Snoop Dogg album came out. I was like, actually, I was like 12. Like we're all fucking really old.
It's like that was the team with Porter and Duckworth and them. That was like the first Blazer team I ever saw. So it was like, oh, it goes Drex to, you know, sneak one out in Houston.
By the way, I was having a talk with a couple of buddies the other day about like Blazer centers and like who is actually the best center for like a long run for the Blazers. And it was Duckworth. Like I looked at it because like Sabonis, like he might have been the most talented maybe, but like he didn't have longevity. Like he, you know, he didn't really put up huge numbers because he was on a team with like Rashid and shit. Like he didn't have to do a heck of a lot. And think of other centers the Blazers have had.
Walton. He wasn't there super long either.
Marcus Camby. Like he was good at defense. Like how many true centers have the Blazers had? Because like
LaMarcus
is not a center. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Greg Oden's probably the best.
Too soon. All right, so me. Okay.
Yeah.
My number two is LaMarcus. Because LaMarcus stays and Portland is...
Still doesn't win.
Yeah. Still doesn't win a title.
Still doesn't win.
But is better than they would have been had he not left.
Hey, if LaMarcus stays, here's the championship parade in Portland.
It's a long parade.
That was a long parade.
Oh, holy shit. Yeah, but I think everybody's with me on that one. How it's like, fuck, man. He went to the Spurs, really? And then he just hasn't done shit with the Spurs, which doesn't help.
Yeah. He's been serviceable, but yeah, he's not.
The Spurs haven't done shit with him. I guess was my main point.
My number two. This rascal went to the Denver Broncos in 1997 and won two Super Bowls.
Ooh.
Neil fucking Smith.
Ooh. Yeah, I forgot about him.
Hate his guts. And he did that whole home run thing. Yeah. And that just terrible Bronco uniforms they're still wearing today. Nose tape. It should have been you, Neil, and not Derek Thomas. That's all I'm saying. Okay, I take that back. But
oh, shit. I'm looking up if Neil Smith is alive or not.
Yeah. He is alive.
Yeah. Oh man, that's quality. Yeah, he's alive. Yep. Okay. Confirmed.
right, so I'll go with my number two. My number two is a collective of players, and that's all the players that have gone from the Sox to the Yanks. So Clemens, Boggs, Johnny Cupidanian, Jacoby Ellsbury, you know.
Yeah.
But really, Johnny Damon's the big one of those. Yep, good again.
I also have I don't have him on my list, but Johnny Damon also applies to me as an A's fan. But then again, we were
I'm a Royals fan. Hey, fuck you, Johnny Damon.
I don't think anybody likes Johnny Damon.
Everyone hates Johnny Damon, right?
And Yankees fans hate all their players, so they hate him too. That's a collective. I'm gonna make the title of this episode "Fuck Johnny Damon." I don't think "Fuck Johnny Damon" would fly past the Apple Podcasts censors for a title of a show. All right, my number one is Jose Canseco, traded mid-game to Texas in 1992. Anybody remember that? I barely do. I was 10 years old, but I remember being a big A's fan back then. And Jose Canseco was my favorite player. I still have a glove with Jose Canseco's name on it. I have like an autograph of Canseco from that guy I met earlier. Remember who he was traded for in that trade with Texas? Yeah. Ruben Sierra. Not just that, Ruben Sierra, Bobby Witt, and Cash. Hey,
Bob Witt, dude, that dude's a baller. But I'm surprised you go
Jose Canseco, 40-40 guy.
How do you go Canseco and not McGuire? Because Canseco, McGuire
played most of his career in Oakland.
I know, but post Oakland, Canseco wasn't that great of a player.
He was good. He was. Yeah, he had like a 40 home run year later on.
McGuire broke records in St. Louis.
I had a lot of good years with Mark McGuire, so I was okay with that. Like, Canseco was like 26 when they traded him. So, like, I was like, what the fuck? 10-year-old me, what the fuck? That was before Billy Bean, so I don't even know who I was cursing.
Is that like a personal attack or something?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. All of these are personal attacks.
You know, actually, now that you mentioned Billy Bean.
And once again, asking for your financial support.
Go A's.
Yeah. Fucking Simeon just got signed by the Blue Jays. But Blue Jays making moves, by the way. Which we can talk about if we want to.
Spending money. No. It's not quite baseball time talk yet.
All right, fair enough.
Sure, we don't want to talk about the Blue Jays?
I mean, let's finish this list first.
Yeah, then we'll delve into Jason.
Yeah, we'll close out with some hot Blue Jays talk.
All right, King, you're number one then.
Well, my number one, I mean, as the number one resident and fan of the Miami Heat, the number one trader of all time.
Your Heat.
Is LeBron this James? Guy who went to freaking Cleveland.
No.
LeBron James.
Who likes Cleveland? Does anybody actually like Cleveland? Remember that Joakim Noah clip of him talking about Cleveland?
Has any sound ever encapsulated a city more than Cleveland and
like a barge? Or like the sound of a body being thrown in like a swamp or something? That
fire? Just a rippling fire over the river?
Yeah. As I hate to interrupt here. You're talking barges, fires on river, LeBron James, Cleveland, now LA. How on God's green earth did Randy Newman have the anthems for the cities of Los Angeles and Cleveland? Like, could there be two more opposite cities that he has the penultimate song and city anthem for?
You're going to say his Cleveland songs bigger than the Drew Carey Cleveland Rocks song?
Absolutely.
The President of the United States of America.
Big River. On the Cuyahoga River.
What can you say that other than Randy Newman's a poet and a genius?
What's the LA one?
I love LA.
I don't. Yeah,
I love it.
No.
We
love it. No.
What? You don't know the song, or you don't?
I don't know that I do. I probably recognize it if I heard it, but like, there's a rap song is LA's anthem.
Yeah. Okay. So, talking about a city that encapsulates, like, a song that encapsulates an entire city. So we're talking about a broad-based song.
Okay.
You can't hit me with like, hey, Dr. Dre talking about
So you're saying
swamping come with the homies? Like,
white people have to like it, is what you're saying?
Yes, that's how radio works. You know that.
Petey Pablo did that for an entire state. So
yeah, Petey Pablo's got the North Carolina anthem. I don't think there's arguing with that. How many people in North Carolina could like pick out Petey Pablo in a lineup? No way. Is this a song?
Just give it a minute.
Just give it a minute.
Yeah, it's a slow burn.
It is.
Got to reel you in first.
The slow burn, like the rivers in Cleveland.
Yes.
In New York City, it's cold and it's dark, and all the people dressed like monkeys.
And
like monkeys.
And he's got copywritten by copyright stricken by.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna get sued by Randy Newman.
Yeah. I don't even know if he's alive or dead.
He's alive.
Yeah, he's killing.
You know the song, Ski, right?
I know the song, yeah.
How does Alex not know the song?
I don't know.
That's a jam, though. Shit.
Oh, those Santa Ana winds, baby. Born to ride.
Yeah.
I feel like Randy
I've been convinced. Shit.
Tell me if you don't agree with this. You guys remember the In Living Color skit with David Alan Greer where he was Calhoun Tubbs? He was like the guy that played the blues, and he just like he just sit there and like say what he's singing, like all he does is sit at his piano and is like looking out like, what do I see in this city? Yeah. Oh, the Cuyahoga River,
yeah,
rolling into Cleveland.
No, Family Guy didn't joke about that.
Did they?
Yeah, where he was like standing next to an apple tree and he literally just started singing about somebody picking up an apple from an apple tree. Got an apple, gonna blow on it, and then you take a bite of the apple.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
If any of you guys are bored, check out Randy Newman.
Let's go.
Just check out the Randy Newman I Love LA video, because I'm pretty sure There's a line where it's like, look at those mountains, look at those trees. And the mountains is like the Matterhorn from Disneyland. All right. Hey. All right, Randy. You love LA.
Man, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
We love it.
I love LA.
Do you guys do your number ones?
I still got my number one.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. My number one is not a coach. It's not a player. It is Theo Epstein.
Ooh.
Because he single-handedly got the Cubs a World Series and ruined everyone outside of Chicago's life.
That's a good one.
And the Red Sox were dog shit, you know, for a couple years after he left.
Yeah.
And last year.
And 4 years ago. And
I have said the Cubs did not deserve a championship.
Nope.
Red Sox fans were miserable. Phillies fans ate batteries. Cubs fans were like, hey, this is awesome. I got a tan. I'm in the bleachers.
Baseball. We're in baseball, guys.
Yeah.
The only saving grace now is Epstein left to join, you know, MLB. And now the Cubs are going to be the biggest dumpster fire in sports for the next decade.
Wait, not MLB. Where did he leave to? Epstein.
I thought he is working for MLB.
Oh, is he? I thought he like retired or something.
No,
he was leveraging it for something bigger.
Because like,
no, he's going to be commissioner the next 10 years.
He got out at a good time where they're like, hey, boy, our best player might be like Kyle Schwarber. Boy, this Chris Bryant guy didn't really pan out.
He's not going to be here.
Yeah, I'm out.
He was hired by Major League Baseball as a consultant to on-field matters.
He's
very real job.
He is positioning himself to be the commissioner.
Yes, he is. And he's probably going to be it. And MLB is probably going to be really, really good because of it. Because he's really fucking smart.
You're actually going to be able to see baseball highlights on everywhere but MLB Network.
Yeah. Yeah. Go figure.
It'll be fucking amazing.
Some Larry Scott shit going on with MLB. All right.
But the Pac-12 should throw a shit ton of money at him. He'd never take it, but they should.
They don't have enough.
They'll at least offer him.
They don't have enough.
No. What school did Theo Epstein go to? He went to two colleges. So the one he graduated from, what do you think that was?
Harvard.
Close.
Yale.
Yes. The one before that is on the West Coast.
The School of Hard Knocks? That's where he's from.
I mean, kinda. So it's...
Compton Community College?
Southern California. Not a Pac-12 school. I'll just say
like Cal State LA.
He went to the University of San Diego. San Diego. That's what's up.
It's a nice place to live.
Is that school down there, Pepperdine? It's like in Malibu or whatever.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Next to Rush Limbaugh in Malibu. Right. Yeah.
Here's a little quick correction. King, you were correct. Marlon Mack went to South Florida.
Hey, go Bulls.
Good shit. Yeah, and I was right about Ronaldo last week. That guy I was talking about was actually named Ronaldo. Nailed it. And there was like a story that you shared with me about why he cut his hair the way he did, and I forget it. I read it right away.
I think it was to distract from reports that he had a groin injury.
Okay.
Or that was from So listener WCP 541.
It was from a cartoon, right? I think.
I don't
know. The haircut. Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. This reminds me of Merton Hanks doing the Big Bird, the chicken dance. Good shit. Maybe that'll be our list next week. Best celebrations or something. Hanks has to be. Anyway, you guys got anything else?
So the Blue Jays rotation, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's not looking too bad.
The rotation. That is not what they addressed at all.
I think Marco Scudero is going to be really solid up the middle for them.
Springer and Simeon. And they're apparently also trying to trade for Chris Bryant.
When did the Jays like all of a sudden become like a big market team?
They became buyers all of a sudden, right? Yeah.
Well, I guess that's what happens when you bring up three young kids to you pay your, they're getting paid nothing. So you got some money to spend.
Yeah.
It's a great thing about baseball. The first 6 years you're working for peanuts.
Don't tell me about that, please. Don't talk about that, please. God, going through the list, I was thinking about doing an A's player for my list. And obviously I came up with Canseco, but it's like, all the guys who were A's and then just when as soon as they wanted money, just go get
Marco Scudero.
Best wishes. Best wishes on getting your money because it's not going to be here. Simeon got like $18 million for 1 year from the Blue Jays. Like, holy shit. Like, he's good. But Oakland's never going to pay a player that much, ever.
See, I'm surprised. I don't know what hurt more, losing Canseco or losing Zito, Mulder, and Hudson within like a year and a half.
Yeah, by the way, that Moneyball season, Zito had like 23 wins. because fucking they were, insane.
They were like three of the top young pitchers in baseball in the same rotation.
Yeah.
And then just, they're gone.
Did not win a World Series.
Well, you look at the Miami in the last 4 years. I mean, you had Yelich, Stanton, Romalto, Ozuna. I mean,
yeah,
they were stacked too. They just didn't get their one World Series before they dismantled everything.
And then Jeets decided to come on and, I don't want good players. I'm good. Nah, we're rebuilding. Oh, but you have a really good team. No. We're rebuilding. Shut up. I'm Derek Jeter. I'm really smart. All right, guys. Next week. See ya.
Later.
Boing.